ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 87 entitled as the prayers of the personified Vedas, text number 22. Tvad anupastam kulayam idam atma surhut priyavat. त्वद् अनुपस्थं कुलायम् इदम् आत्मसुहृत् प्रियवत्। चरति ततोन्मुखे त्वयि हिते प्रिय आत्मनि च। चरति ततोन्मुखे त्वयि हिते प्रिय आत्मनि च। नबत रमन्त्यहो असद् उपासनयात्महानो। नबत रमन्त्यहो असद् उपासनयात्महानो। यद् अनुशय अनुसाय अनुस्य ब्रह्मन्ति उरुभये कुशरीर भृतः। यद् अनुशया भ्रमन्ति उरुभये कुशरीर भृतः। त्वद् अनुपष्टं कुलयम् कुलयामिद आत्मसुहृत् प्रियवत्। चरति ततोन्मुखे त्वयि हिते प्रिय आत्मनि च। नबत रमन्त्यहो असद् उपासयात्महनो। यद् अनुशय भ्रमति उरुभये कुशरीर भृतः। Matajis.
Thank you.
तत्त्वत् यू अनुपथम यूजफुल फॉर सर्विंग कुलायम बॉडी इदम दिस आत्मा सेल्फ सुहृत फ्रेंड प्रिय एंड बिलवड वत एस चरति एक्ट्स तथा नेवरदलेस उन मुखे हु आर फेवरेबली डिस्पोज्ड त्वई इन यू हिते हु आर हेल्पफुल प्रिय हु आर अफेक्शनेट आत्मनि हु आर देयर वेरी सेल्फ च एंड नॉट न नॉट बत अलास रमंती दे टेक प्लेजर अहो आ असत ऑफ द अनरियल उपासनाय बाय वर्शिप आत्मा देमसेल्व्स हनह किलिंग यत इन विच वर्शिप ऑफ द अनरियल अनुसय हूज पर्सिस्टेंट डिजायर्स भ्रमंती दे वॉन्डर उरु ग्रेटली भये इन द फियरफुल मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस कु डिग्रेडेड शरीर बॉडीज ब्रितह कैरिंग ट्रांसलेशन When this human body is used for your devotional service, it acts as one's self, friend and beloved. But unfortunately, although you always show mercy to the conditioned souls and affectionately help them in every way, and although you are their true self, people in general fail to delight in you. Instead, they commit spiritual suicide by worshipping illusion. Alas! Because they persistently hope for success in their devotion to the unreal, they continue to wander about this greatly fearful world, assuming various degraded bodies. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas have strong words for those who choose to remain in illusion rather than serve the all-merciful personality of Godhead. The Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 4.3.15 states, Everyone can see the place where the Lord manifested Himself in this world for His own pleasure, but still no one sees Him. None of you know Him who generated all these living beings, and thus there is great difference between your vision and His. Covered by the fog of illusion, you performers of Vedic rituals indulge in useless talk, and live only to gratify your senses. The Supreme Lord pervades His universe. As He says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat. Nothing in this world, not even the most insignificant clay pot or shred of cloth, is devoid of the presence of the personality of Godhead. But because He keeps Himself invisible to the envious eyes, avyakta murtina, materialists are misled by His material energy and think that the source of material creation is a combination of atoms and physical forces. Displaying their compassion for such foolish materialists, the personified Vedas advise them in this prayer to remember that the real purpose for which they exist, to serve the Lord, their greatest well-wisher, with loving devotion. The human body is the ideal facility for reviving one's spiritual consciousness. Its organs, ears, tongues, eyes, and so on, are quite suitable for hearing about the Lord, chanting His glories, worshipping Him, and performing all other essential aspects of devotional service. One's material body is destined to remain intact for only a short time, and so it is called as kulayam, subjected to dissolving into earth. Kau liyate. Nonetheless, if properly utilized, it can be one's best friend. When one is immersed in material consciousness, however, the body becomes a false friend. distracting the bewildered living entity from his true self-interest. Persons too much infatuated with their own bodies and those of their spouses, children, pets and so on, in fact, misdirecting their devotion to the worship of illusion, asat upasana. In this way, as the Shruti state here, such people commit spiritual suicide, ensuring future punishment for failing to carry out the higher responsibilities of human existence. As the Ishopanishad 3 declares, Asurya nam namate loke andhena tamashavrata tamste pretya bigachanti yeke chatma hanojanaha. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Those who are overly attached to sense gratification or who worship the impermanent in the form of false materialistic scriptures and philosophies maintain desires that carry them into more degraded bodies in each successive life. Since they are entrapped in the perpetually rotating cycle of samsara, their only hope for salvation is getting a chance to hear the merciful instructions spoken by the Supreme Lord's devotees. Srila Sridhar Swami prays, Toi Atmani Jagat Nathe Manmano Ramatam Iha Kada Mamendriyas Drisham Janma Manusham Sambhavi Syati. When will I receive a human birth in which my mind may take pleasure in you, who are the Supreme Self and the Lord of the Universe? Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Sja He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhano Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyas Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I would like to seek blessings from all the devotees so that I can speak something on this very exalted subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the biggest canto of practically the whole of the 12 cantos. And in the 10th canto, we are in the biggest chapter. And in the biggest chapter, we are amongst the biggest purports. So practically, you know, every purport is taking like three sessions like that. And these sections that we are going through right now in the Srimad Bhagavatam is prayers by the personified Vedas. As we know that the Vedas are highly complicated subject matter for common human beings to understand.
So if Vedas are so complicated, what will be the prayers that the Vedas offer? So they are super highly complicated. So just to make life simpler and to not get into the complicated details of what the Vedas are trying to say, we will take up a story or rather a pastime that is something that we can more relate to and which is connected to this particular month. So here in this particular verse and purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how this human body has to be used for devotional service. And if one acts, if one uses it for devotional service, it acts as one best friend, it acts as a well-wisher, and it acts as a beloved. But unfortunately, if we, rather than using it in the right way for devotional service, we use it for our own, in the translation over here, it's talking about, instead they commit spiritual suicide by worshipping illusion. Here the word worship of illusion is mentioned. So alas, because they persistently hope for success in their devotion to the unreal, they continue to wander about this greatly fearful world, assuming various degraded bodies. So here, in essence, this verse talks about how we have two options. Further in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful verse where Shukadeva Goswami is giving this example. He says, just like a forest is made up of trees and twigs, and when twigs in a forest rub each other, it creates fire which destroys the whole forest only. So in that in the translation and purport, the example that Shukadeva Goswami gives is, he says, just like twigs are a part of the forest only, but the twigs rub one another and destroy the whole forest, similarly, human beings should use their body to destroy the body. Which means that if we can use the human form of life in the right way, then at the end of our life, we can perfect our life in such a way that we don't have to take another human body again. So the understanding is, use the human body to destroy the human body. Of course, there is a possibility that you may end up destroying the human body and you might get a lower body, like a tree or an animal or something like that. That's not the way it is. It's about talking about transcending. So there are two ways to grow in devotion. One way is to go by the slow process of sadhana bhakti, which is what we are all fortunate, or rather we are all destined to achieve perfection of our life by. But there are some people, some devotees, who don't necessarily go through the regular process of sadhana bhakti. They take a big jump. They take a big leap in their devotion and go very far at one stroke. So today we are going to discuss a story of one of those people, two of those people actually, who made a big jump in their lives from being completely degraded materialists enjoying themselves to being practically eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So whenever the Lord appears or he takes an incarnation, he takes an avatar, what is the purpose of the Lord taking an avatar? So generally, when a single person, one person decides to practice devotional service, so he may practice for a prolonged period of time, or he may take a jump and perfect his life, whatever it is. But generally, regular human beings don't have the capacity to take many more people along with them. If you can perfect your own life, that itself is great. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janma sartaka karo, karo paro upakara. Don't worry about others first. First, you catch the bus. You are helping everybody catch the bus. What about you? When you will get in? The bus might just leave. And therefore, the avatar, where the Lord appears as an incarnation, he appears in such a way that just by his presence and just by his power, he can take thousands of people along with him back to the spiritual world. That's what the purpose of an avatar is. So avatar acts like a bridge. An incarnation of the Lord acts like a bridge. And there are thousands of people can utilize this bridge and cross over this material ocean and go back to the spiritual world. Just like we have sea link to cross the sea, we need a big link to cross the material ocean of birth and death. And that is what an incarnation is. That is what Krishna's avatars are. So, I'm going to discuss the next 45 minutes or so about Krishna's incarnation and specifically about this particular Leela of Damodarashtakam. Last Sunday, Gaurangpur spoke in detail about the whole principle behind the Damodarashtakam. What I'm going to do today is go into those details of the Damodarashtakam that practically we have never discussed so far. I was reading a book by Shivaram Maharaj, His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj, called Damodar Janani. And this book has such fascinating details about the whole story of Damodar Leela. So after reading the entire book, I said, I should share it. You know, it's not right to just keep it to myself. And the book is not easily available and it's a extremely costly book. So I'm not sure how many people will actually get it. And 95% of people who even get it, they keep it in the shelf, you know. Hardly anybody takes it out to read it. So I said, let me, you know, share whatever I have read and whatever has inspired me from the book. So I am not going into the first half of the Damodar Leela, but I'll go into the second half because that's what concerns the purport today. The second half is the half where these two loafers, Nalakuver and Manigriv, whom we are very close to, closely connected to, you know, they become lovers. This is a story from becoming loafers to lovers, you know, Damodar Leela in essence. So, we all know how Mother Yashoda, she was putting huge amounts of efforts to tie Krishna to this ukhal, to the grinding motor. Mother Yashoda was very disturbed by the pranks of Krishna, especially because that particular morning, Krishna, usually he does pranks in other people's houses. Today he did a prank in his own house. So that became a little too much for Mother Yashoda to handle. Because all this while she has been just getting complaints about Krishna. She never saw him doing anything live. But today when she had actually seen him doing the greatest of mischief live in front of her own eyes, she said, this person, Krishna is not just a regular boy. He is Khala. Khala means, and we know this term Khalnayak, you know. So this term suits Krishna the best because Mother Yashoda was thinking, this person, my child, is becoming so naughty, he is becoming Khala. So she was thinking, the only way I can stop Khala from doing more Khala is by tying him to Ukkhal. I'll get one more Khala and tie him this Khala to that Khala. So by tying Khala to Ukkhala, Krishna's naughtiness will stop for some time at least. That was the process of binding the Damodar Leela. So Yashoda was tying up Krishna, trying to tie up Krishna, and she was using thousands and thousands of ropes to tie up Krishna. But somehow or the other, though she was trying her best, Krishna was not getting tied only. The rope was falling every time, two fingers too short. So all the gopis, after a certain point, they started telling Mother Yashoda, don't try so much. She said, they were telling her, don't challenge fate. Today, it is not written in the destiny of Krishna to get tied up. Give up this endeavor. And this is not just endeavor, this is over-endeavor. Don't you know, all the acharyas talk about how one should not do over-endeavor. You know. So, Yashoda, she was, you know, and the gopis were telling her that Krishna doesn't want to get embarrassed in front of his friends. And therefore, he is a supreme lord. You cannot accomplish anything that is not favorable to him. Yashoda started telling the gopis, he may be the Lord, but he is my son also. And if he is my son, then I am going to tie him. And if he is the Lord, then I have to get enough ropes to encircle the Supreme Lord. So she was like, you know, enthusiastic about tying up Krishna. And she was so determined to conquer her son's abdomen, son's belly, that practically this Leela starts at sunrise. Mother Yashoda starts tying up Krishna at sunrise. The first rope that she puts around his waist is just after sunrise. And by the time she actually gathers thousands and thousands of ropes and she puts that effort, it's already sunset. Can you imagine? From sunrise to sunset, Mother Yashoda is trying to do one job of tying up Krishna. So somebody after trying for one whole day, practically like more than 12 hours, they will say, let's give up. But Mother Yashoda was not ready to give up. She was determined to tie up Krishna. And Krishna, he was doing something very interesting. I mean, what do you think he was doing while Mother Yashoda was tying up all day long? Krishna was doing only one thing. Looking at his mother. Smiling and looking at his mother's beauty. Because for Krishna, Yashoda is not just a regular person. She is not just his mother. Throughout this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami calls Krishna as Gopika Suta. That means he is the son of that gopi, the elder gopi, the eldest gopi, the most senior gopi of Vrindavan, Gopika Suta. And that's the favorite name that Krishna likes. So as he was looking at Mother Yashoda, when his eyes were looking at the blackish arms of Mother Yashoda, the arms of Mother Yashoda appeared like a dark vine creeper that was wet with morning dew. So Mother Yashoda was sweating by this time. Whole day she has been trying to tie up Krishna. So initially Krishna was standing and she was trying to bind him up. Then after some time she realized that no point in making him stand because it's going to take some time. So she made him sit on her lap. So Krishna was sitting on her lap and she was continuing to tie all day long, you know. So she was sweating. When his son's sense of touch felt her hair, her loosened hair, her hair was all disheveled, she had taken the rope from her hair to tie up Krishna. So the hair of Mother Yashoda was touching Krishna, and the touch of Mother Yashoda's hair, for him, it felt like a peacock fan touching him, so soft. His nose, he was breathing, and when he was breathing, he was able to inhale the fragrance of Mother Yashoda, which was like a breeze that was laden with the fragrance of flowers. So now Mother Yashoda was sweating. Now when you sweat, it's not very fragrant. But for Krishna, his mother's sweat was fragrant like flowers. Because it is not just sweat, it was a sweat of her devotion for him. And for Krishna's ears, now he was sitting on her lap, and naturally his ears were very close to her heart. And Krishna was able to hear the heartbeat of Mother Yashoda. And when he was hearing the heartbeat of Mother Yashoda, it resembled like a soft thunder. And from the heartbeat of Mother Yashoda, he could hear the sankirtan of his own names. And finally, while all this was happening and Krishna was completely immersed in her devotion, from her forehead, few drops of perspiration fell on Krishna. And as soon as the few drops of perspiration fell on the limbs of Krishna, these drops of perspiration started talking to Krishna. They started saying, "Oh boy, please be kind to your mother. She is sweating. She is in so much trouble, so much anxiety." The Srimad Bhagavatam Sukadeva Goswami says, "Drishtva parishramam Krishna, kripaya seet so bandhane." Seeing the fatigue of Mother Yashoda, Krishna becomes merciful. Kripayat. And he agrees to be bound. So bandhane. So now, although Yashoda has been tying up these knots for all day long, for hours and hours and hours together, at this point of time, she decides, enough. I want to give up now. Both ho gaya. I've been trying all day long and I'm not able to tie up Krishna. So she was just about to give up. Just as she was about to give up, Yoga Maya, the internal potency of Krishna, inspired her hands to continue tying. So mentally she had given up, but her hands were physically continuing to tie. Because, you know, you do something mechanical all day long, you keep doing it, you know. So her hand continued to tie and she tied one more knot by mistake. And that one more knot was a knot that tied Krishna. That was the knot that actually bound Krishna. And interestingly, as soon as she bound Krishna, miraculously all the ropes that she had been tying all day long from morning to night, what was happening was, every time she would tie a rope to that original rope from her hair, the new rope would disappear. So practically all day long she has been tying one after another, one after another, one after another, all the ropes were disappearing. And at the end of the day, when the final knot was tied, all the other ropes fell like a carpet in front of Krishna. And the Vrajavasis are completely bewildered. Now, how is it possible? And interestingly, what was left on Krishna's belly was that original rope with which he started tying. Can you imagine? All this effort, useless. But they're not actually useless. What Krishna wanted to see was how much desire Yashoda had to tie him up. Krishna was not interested in ropes. Krishna was interested in her effort and in her devotion. And therefore, after Yashoda tied up Krishna and now Krishna was bound, Yashoda embraced him, started kissing him all over his face. And all the gopis that were standing around, they started calling him as Damodar. So now, of course, the word Damodar means that Udara means belly and Damodar means the one who is bound by his belly. So Krishna was feeling very bad. They're calling him, they're teasing him with a new name, Damodar, Damodar, the person who is bound by his belly, you know. So Krishna felt, now the whole world is going to tease me by this name. Every time somebody calls me Damodar, they are teasing me. They go, "Tumko band diya Yashoda ne." So Krishna was feeling like that. Interestingly, the Lord is complete, Purna. The Ishopanishad talks about Purnamadam, Purnamidam. It talks about how Krishna is complete. But he can be complete only if he is not just independent, but he is also dependent. So if somebody says, you know, if Krishna is complete person, a person who is complete should have everything in him. Krishna is independent, that is one of his qualities. But if he is just independent, that means he is not complete. He should also be dependent. And therefore, here this particular Leela, this Leela brings out this another feature of Krishna, how he is not independent, but also dependent. He is not only independent, but also dependent. And therefore, his independence is shown by his desire to be bound. His independence is also shown by his desire for being dependent. So here, this dependence on his loving servant, Mother Yashoda, it is called technically as Bhakta Anuraga. That means, his dependence on his devotee is actually his mercy on his devotee. Bhakta Anuraga. When labor arises during the process of worship, it is called as Bhakta Nishta Bhajanotta. Devotee's steadiness in worship. When you are trying to worship the Lord, there is a lot of labor involved. Chanting 16 rounds. It's an effort. It's not an easy thing, you know. Nobody ever says Krishna consciousness is easy. When you try to address the deities, you know, when each of these decorations, each of the festivals that we have in the temple, Sharad Purnima, Julan Yatra, and all the festivals that we have in the temple, the amount of effort that goes in is unlimited. There is a lot of parishram, there is a lot of effort in trying to worship Krishna. So the labor that arises during the process of worship, it is called as Bhakta Nishta Bhajanotta. That means devotee's steadiness in worship. Yashoda was ready to accept all kinds of setbacks, weariness, that means exhaustion, and criticism. So when Yashoda was trying to tie up Krishna, first of all, there was a lot of setbacks. Every time she was tying the knot, not working out. She has to get more ropes. There's a lot of exhaustion. She was sweating like anything. And a lot of criticism. Everybody around her except her was convinced that nahi hone wala hai. Chhod do. Forget it. So when you practice your spiritual life also, exactly same thing happens. Lot of setbacks. You constantly keep experiencing setback in your life. Many people, when they come to process of Krishna consciousness, they feel that now life is set. I am under the shelter of Krishna. No setbacks will come. Exactly when you think life is set, that time only setbacks come. And then you begin to wonder, what is this going on? I have taken so much shelter of Krishna, still setbacks are coming in my life. And then, not just setbacks, there is exhaustion also. It is not that the process is so easy. It's not that when you chant Hare Krishna, you are feeling blissful. Ananda kande, nothing happens like that, you know. What we read in Damodar Ashtakam, you know, and we sing in Damodar Ashtakam is very beautiful and blissful to sing. But in reality, it's a very tough process. There is a lot of exhaustion that happens. And not just exhaustion, and not just setbacks. There is a lot of criticism also that you have to face. Practically every second person is criticizing, oh, you are doing this. Your family members are criticizing you. Your friends are criticizing you. Your office colleagues are definitely criticizing you. Your boss is surely criticizing you. Especially when you apply for leaves, when you don't have leaves. You know. So everybody is criticizing you, and you end up criticizing yourself also. Make you bhakti kar raha, you know. You start asking yourself, you know, I am a fool, why did I come to Ralagopina temple? Life would have been different if I was not here, you know. So, in spite of all these three things, setbacks, exhaustion and criticism, Yashoda labored in these conditions, in spite of these conditions. And the potency generated by that labor is the first finger that was covered. The second finger, which was second finger space that was covered, is known as Darshanotta Swanishtita Kripa. Which means the mercy invoked in the Lord by seeing the labor of his devotees. When Krishna sees that first finger is taken care of by Mother Yashoda's labor, by the effort of Yashoda, then he says, by looking at that, Darshanota Swanishtita Kripa. That means when Krishna has darshan, Krishna sees the labor of his devotees, then Krishna says, let me give Kripa. It brings out Swanishtita, that means from within Krishna's heart, it brings out the desire to give Kripa to his devotee, mercy to his devotee. So finally, when Krishna gets tied up by Mother Yashoda, and Krishna is helplessly bound, the demigods in the heavens, they are looking at Krishna and they are completely bewildered. They don't know what to do. And then Krishna makes many declarations. He announces many things to the demigods. He tells the demigods, I am the eternal desire tree that fulfills everyone's cravings. I fulfill everyone's desires. I fulfill, one of the names of Krishna is known as Varadaraj. He's a fulfiller of all desires. But without the touch of my mother, I am incomplete. Then he says, I am satisfied in myself. I am Atmaram. But when the gopis churn yogurt thinking of me, suddenly I become hungry. He says, I am the personification of transcendental goodness. But if my friends make fun of me, I get angry. He says, I am the proprietor of all things. I own everything in this world. But I enjoy the relish of the butter which I steal from others. Then he says, fear personified fears the slightest movement of my eyebrows. I move my eyebrows a little bit and practically fear personified fears me. In Vrindavan, Krishna Leela is orchestrated in such a way that when Radha and Krishna and all the gopis are performing their Ras Leela, the divine pastimes, then the nature assists them in their pastimes. And the assistance is perfectly timed. That means when Krishna is swinging with Radharani on a swing, which flower will fall at which part of the swing is decided. When a drop of dew will fall on Krishna's face is decided. So much control Krishna has over nature. So Krishna is saying, fear personified fears my slightest movement of my eyebrows. But when my mother raises a stick, I become afraid. And then he says, although I cannot be contained within the mind of the most powerful yogis, still my mother catches me and ties me up. And he says, I am the condensed form of transcendental bliss. I am supposed to be Satchidananda, Satchidananda Rupam. I am supposed to be the condensed form of transcendental bliss. But when my mother neglects me, I become unhappy. And then he says, although I am all pervading, without a beginning and without an end, my mother has still managed to tie me to this motor. And then Krishna tells the demigods, the influence of loving devotion is so powerful that I forget myself and forget my divinity also. And he says, I think that I just become the object of love of my devotees, and I practically become a plaything in my devotees' hands. And he tells the demigods, and I love it. So the demigods are completely bewildered by this kind of exhibition of Krishna's love. So Mother Yashoda ties up Krishna and tells all the gopis, now he can't do anything over here. And to make sure that Krishna doesn't do any more mischief, his friends are there, they will give him company, so he will not feel bored also. So she says, let's go inside, there is a lot of work to do. We have to clean up all the mess that Krishna has done, and after that cook for Krishna for Diwali preparations. So Mother Yashoda and all the gopis go inside and they are cursing Krishna. What kind of a boy is this? Destroyed the whole house in a matter of few minutes literally. The few seconds that Mother Yashoda was went to pick up the milk pot and bring it down, in that much time Krishna had practically destroyed the whole house. He went and he broke the pot of butter that mother was churning. Then he went to the storeroom and broke every pot in the storeroom, threw all the butter on the walls, threw all the yogurt on the ground, practically completely messed up. And only one pot of butter he kept, you know, unbroken, that he took with him and distributed the butter to the monkeys. So Krishna had royally messed up the house, basically, you know. So now Mother Yashoda went inside to clean up and left Krishna with his friends. So now Krishna was with the friends, with his friends. Now Vatsalya Rasa is over, Sakya Rasa is taken up. So in every rasa, there is a different relationship, different type of mellow that exchange with Krishna. One of the friends asks Krishna, from morning to evening you have been sitting over here, aren't you hungry? Should I go and ask my mother for some yogurt to feed you? As soon as Krishna hears the sound yogurt, he suddenly becomes hungry. You know, from morning to evening he didn't feel his hunger, but as soon as one of his friends reminded him of yogurt, he suddenly starts feeling hungry. He has already skipped three meals literally, practically, yeah. And now his mind, as soon as he hears the word yogurt, he gets an idea. New strategy starts developing, you know. You old habits die hard, you know. So Krishna is used to stealing. So Krishna tells, you fool, your mother is in my house. Why will you go and ask her now? He said, forget your mother, go to your house and steal whatever is there in your house and bring it here. So all the friends go running to their own houses, because all the houses are unattended now. And they ransack their own houses. They practically get all the butter and yogurt and all the sweets that they can get. And completely loaded with all kinds of sweets, they come running to where Krishna is. And then sitting there only, they have a picnic now. Usually they have picnic in the forest. This particular scene, it happens in a very interesting place. So Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna. So she chases him all over the house. And finally Krishna realizes, the only way I can be safe is if I go to the public. If I go in front of all the gopas and brajavasis, then their Mother Yashoda cannot punish me, because everybody will start, you know, opposing her and stopping her. So Krishna ran to the courtyard, to his palace, to the outside of his palace literally, so thinking that in public I will be saved, I will not be embarrassed. But Mother Yashoda didn't care of public or, you know, private. In front of everybody, in front of whole of Vrindavan, she tied him up. So now Mother Yashoda left him outside the courtyard of her house. Literally, just on the edge of the courtyard of the house. So now, this is the scene. The scene is that Krishna is outside the house in the courtyard. Public, everybody can see. It's like right on the road, literally. And here in such a public place, these people are having a picnic. You know, all the boys and all. Krishna is eating like anything. The boys, the gopas, the friends of Krishna, they are so much used to loving Krishna and eating with Krishna, that when they return home after their whole day being with Krishna, playing with Krishna and all, when they return home, their mothers want to feed them food. But the gopas, the boys, they have no appetite to eat only, because they don't feel hunger without Krishna's presence. So what every mother does, she has a very interesting technique of feeding their child. You know what she does? She keeps a plate for Krishna also. She tells her son that, see, Krishna has come to eat with you. And as soon as the boy hears Krishna has come to eat with me, this boy becomes enthusiastic to eat. And he starts eating like anything. And the most amazing thing is, every mother sees that the plate, the food on Krishna's plate disappears. So practically in every house, Krishna takes his special form and he is visible only to the boys. He is not visible to the mothers. And Krishna eats food in every house. And that's how the Vatsalya, the Sakya Ras is. Now, after eating so much, after eating quite a bit, Krishna gets strength. Now he thinks it's time to do something. So he gets up and he starts, you know, testing the strength of the rope that has tied him, you know. And he starts testing how powerful that motor is, that wooden grinding motor that is binding him. So he shakes it up a little bit, you know. And then he tells his friends, push it from behind. So all the friends of Krishna are pushing the motor from behind. And Krishna is pulling it from ahead. And this becomes a new game for the gopas, for Krishna's friends. The gopas are pushing the motor from behind. And Krishna is pulling it from front. And then Krishna realizes, after he goes a little, that there is a downslope in his courtyard. There is like a small downhill. So he thinks it's much easier to drag the motor downhill. So he starts pulling the motor and taking it slowly downwards. And as Krishna is pulling the motor, the boys, Krishna now starts showing off. He shows his muscles to the boys, you know. He hits his arms, he hits his thighs. He says, now I'm strong, I'm going to pull this motor. Krishna transforms a setback into a sport. This is Krishna Leela. Krishna knows exactly how to entertain his devotees. Kaliya, who had come as such a powerful snake to disturb Vrindavan, instead of killing Kaliya, Krishna used Kaliya in a very interesting way. He converted a threat into a theater. He started dancing on Kaliya's head, you know. Krishna was bound by Kaliya for almost 48 minutes, for one whole muhurta. Kaliya was thinking that I am in control of Krishna. I can easily overpower Krishna. Kaliya didn't understand why Krishna was waiting in his coil for 48 minutes. He waited in his coils for 48 minutes for all of Vrindavan to come, for it to become houseful, so that he can start his leela. You know? And Kaliya was thinking, 48 minutes, I am in control. And exactly when 48 minutes got over, all the devotees had assembled over there, Krishna suddenly squeezed himself, became thinner, and slipped out of Kaliya's head. And then did his mystical transcendental dance on Kaliya's head, exhibited his Nataraj form. So here, Krishna has invented a new game. He's tied to the motor. Yashoda was thinking that this is going to prevent him from doing any mischief. Krishna was trying to tell the world, nothing can prevent me from doing what I want. And Krishna was so happy with this new game that he invented that he lost his desire to get free. I don't want to become free only. This is a new game I have invented, you know, and I want to play this game. And Krishna began to drag the motor here and there. And after he would drag a motor for a few meters, he would get exhausted and he would catch his breath. So here in this whole leela, Krishna does two things simultaneously. He simultaneously shows his greatness. That he is God. He cannot be bound. He is dragging such a huge motor with him. And simultaneously he shows his sweetness as a small child. Now if he is dragging such a big motor, why is he getting exhausted? Why is he stopping to catch his breath? So for his friends, he wants to show, I am still a small child only. But at the same time, he wants to drag the motor, so he is doing that also. So he does both simultaneously. And we will find that more and more happening throughout the pastime. One of the boys, he started telling Krishna, your mother tied you up to this motor only for breaking one pot. Because of breaking a pot of butter, she tied you up to this motor. Imagine if she saw you dragging this motor around, what she will do to you. All the boys started laughing when they heard this boy saying that. One boy said, he told Krishna, my mother will never ever tie me like this. Another boy said, even my mother will never tie me like this. She loves me so much. And the one more boy started saying, let us protest to Nanda Maharaj. This is unfair to tie you like this. And he said, we should make a delegation. We should take a dharna, morcha, you know. This is injustice, child abuse going on here, you know. So all the boys, they were like really enthusiastic about, you know, supporting Krishna. For one moment, even Krishna got affected. Yeah, that's right, and I have so much injustice to me. He started crying. And another moment, another boy said, let me go and get a rope to cut Krishna's, let me get a knife to cut Krishna's rope. Suddenly Krishna realized, these people are, boys are trying to do something funny. And these boys are criticizing Mother Yashoda. He said, wait a minute, don't find fault in my mother. And he started telling, so he said, the boy started telling Krishna, how can she punish a prince like a common criminal? You're not a criminal, you're a prince of Vrindavan. Krishna said, her disciplining is only because she loves me so much. And Krishna said, because I'm a prince, my conduct should be exemplary. I should behave perfectly. And because she loves me so much, she is punishing me so that she can rectify my behavior. And because she loves all of you all also, she is punishing me publicly. So that all of you understand that if you do mischief, this is what has happened to you also. So kind of Krishna is, you know, telling, justifying for what Mother Yashoda is doing. And he started telling, my mother is my greatest well-wisher and my greatest guide. Can you imagine what Krishna is trying to tell? Krishna is somebody who is supposed to be dharma personified. He spoke full Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield to Arjun, and Bhagavad Gita becomes like the dharma grantha for the entire world. He is telling over here, whatever I know about dharma, I learned from Mother Yashoda only. So Yashoda is like the originator of Bhagavad Gita. She is the one who taught all the dharma to Krishna, and that dharma big lecture he gave to Arjun later, you know. So he is glorifying his mother like anything, saying that don't find fault in my mother. My mother is disciplining me so that I can become a follower of dharma later. So now suddenly, so Krishna keeps having this change of moods, you know. So suddenly he is mischievous, suddenly he becomes very sober, suddenly he becomes like God. So he keeps exhibiting different emotions and different moods. So as Krishna was thinking like this, suddenly he saw at a distance these two trees. They call the Yamala Arjuna trees. These were the sons of Kuvera, and they have been standing as trees for 20,000 years. And they have been standing in Vrindavan for quite some time. And recently the Vrajavasis had named that tree. They call the trees as Arjuna trees. So Arjuna is one of the names of Krishna's gopas, one of Krishna's friends. So, and because they were twins, there were two of them, they looked exactly similar. They were called as Yamala Arjuna trees. So they were huge. But despite of being so huge, the trees were shackled at their roots. They couldn't move anywhere. Krishna was thinking, I am just like those trees now, bound. The trees are tied to their root. I am tied to my belly. So trees can't move. I also can't move. So Krishna was thinking, now I know what conditioned souls feel when they are restrained, constrained by the ropes of material nature. When the three gunas tie them up, I know exactly how they feel, because right now I am tied up. So Krishna is thinking, maybe if I free these two trees from their, you know, from their bondage, I may also get freed because of this good karma. So he was thinking, let me do some pious activity of freeing these trees from their conditionings. So Krishna was performing two roles here simultaneously. One role of an angry young boy who is being disciplined by his mother and being unjustly punished by his mother. At the same time, he is acting like the omniscient Lord who is planning to liberate two conditioned souls. While he was bound by the love of his devotees, he continues to give liberation to others. Here, Krishna is thinking, let me give freedom to these two people who have been tied as trees, who have been restricted as trees by Narada Muni. So essentially, there are two ways or two types of opinions in this world. One is the popular opinion and one is saintly people's opinion. Which opinion do we take more seriously? Nalakuvera and Manigriv, they used to always take the opinions of, opinion which is more popular seriously. Because they loved popularity. They were the sons of, treasure of the demigods. Can you imagine if somebody is the son of the, you know, governor of RBI today? How happy he will be. At least he will have access to notes easily. You know. So Kuvera's two sons, Nalakuvera and Manigriv, they were in ecstasy, they were thrilled, they were very happy with their lives because they were getting to enjoy themselves like anything. And because they were so happy, they always cared for popular opinion. Till the day Narada Muni came into their life. And Narada Muni saw them squandering their piety and enjoying themselves in Mandakini Ganga. Narada Muni cursed them to become trees. Krishna, on the other hand, doesn't care for popular opinion. In fact, if you study the entire Vrindavan Leela, and if you study Krishna's whole life, he only became unpopular in his life. Whatever he did, he was unpopular only, practically. Even today, people, you know, like I was in a station one day, and one old man, you know, he looked at me and he got wild. He started abusing Krishna, just looking at me, you know. Ye tumhare ye Krishna ye karte hai, wo karte. I said, come on, yaar, I'm a stranger to you. I don't even know you. Suddenly he's abusing me. He's abusing Krishna, is all kinds of bad words. So Krishna is somebody who is unpopular because of his actions. But Krishna is somebody who doesn't care for popular opinions. What he cares for is saintly people's opinions. So Krishna took Narada Muni's opinion very seriously. And what are Narada Muni's opinion? Narada Muni's opinion were, these two people, they are loafers. They are most unqualified people, but they deserve to get mercy of the Lord. They deserve to get love of Godhead. So that was Narada Muni's opinion. So Krishna took that opinion very seriously. These two people, Nalakuvera and Manigriv, they were double intoxicated. One was they were intoxicated by Varuni, the celestial whiskey, celestial liquor. And in addition to Varuni, they were also intoxicated by pride. So they were double intoxicated. So when you get intoxicated by liquor, Narada Muni was thinking, intoxication with liquor wears away with time. After 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever, you get out of the intoxication. But intoxication with pride does not wear away at all. It remains. You go higher and higher and higher. So Narada Muni was thinking, how do I release these two people from both the intoxications at one time? So these people were bathing in the Ganga, Mandakini Ganga and the heavenly planets. But the more they were bathing in the Mandakini Ganga, instead of getting purified, they were actually getting putrefied. Mandakini Ganga was not purifying them. Because they were immersed in the Ganga, but from top they were drinking another Ganga, you know, another liquid. Completely getting intoxicated and contaminated. So Narada Muni was thinking that only when pride is curbed, these people will become eligible for bhakti. Sometimes, when a father wants to feed a sleeping son sweet rice, this child is sleeping, children love to sleep, they can sleep for all day long, all night long also. But the father knows, sometimes you have to wake up the child. So if the father has a cup of sweet rice to feed the child, and the child is not getting up only, so sometimes the father pinches the child. Now the pinch of the father may seem to be very painful to the child, may seem to be harmful to the child. Why is the father pinching the child? So that he can feed him sweet rice. Similarly, Narada Muni, he cursed the demigods so that he can bring them to their senses. Before cursing them, Narada Muni gave them the whole philosophy. He explained to them, shared with them words of wisdom. He was telling them that a person who is poverty stricken, a poor man, automatically undergoes austerities and automatically undergoes penances. Now we may do a fasting on Ekadasi, we may do Nirjala Ekadasi, we may do so many fastings. But a poor person does fasting every second day. Not because he wants to, but because he has no option. So essentially, Narada Muni, he was telling them that the only way these people can get purified of their pride of wealth is if their false prestige is vanquished. And if they undergo compulsory austerity, that compulsory austerity is very good for them because it will purify them and completely free them from their false ego. So why do we fast? For many reasons. One of the reasons we also fast is so that we take up voluntary austerity, voluntary penances. The body wants comforts. It doesn't want to be in any situation of discomfort even one day in 2 weeks. Whenever Ekadasi comes, we curse. Arey, vapas aa gaya. Abhi to gaya tha. So somehow or other, our body, you know, we don't want to practice austerities. But by undergoing compulsory austerity, purification happens of the false ego. So Narad Muni was thinking, these people are not going to do fasting. These people are not going to do any kind of austerities on their own. So I have to give them compulsory austerities. Will wealthy people, people who are rich, ever get the association of devotees? Prosperity is not a disqualification for devotional service. It's not a disqualification for getting the association of devotees. If a wealthy person is devoid of the pride of wealth and he shows respect to the devotees, even they get mercy, they get kripa. Like poor people, devotees possess nothing. They don't have anything. Therefore, one of the names of a devotee, a Vaishnava, is known as Akinchan, Akinchana Gochara. Somebody who has no possession at all. So when a rich man, when devotees go to the house of a rich person, why do they go? Now Narad Muni, why did he go to the heavenly planets? I mean, he doesn't need to go to heavenly planets. It's not that he's going to collect some donation over there, you know. It's not that, you know, bank account in spiritual world is running out or bank account among the sadhus is running out, he's going to collect some donation to Kuwait. No. When a devotee goes to the house of a rich person, it is not to receive money but to give mercy. So Narad Muni went to the heavenly planets, he went to Mandakini Ganga, to the banks of Mandakini Ganga to deliver the Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So if a rich person is very arrogant and proud, then generally devotees avoid them, neglect them to choose somebody more qualified. So Narad Muni is a very different type of devotee. We read in the 10 offenses against the holy name, one of the offenses, the 9th offense is that one should not preach to the faithless person. Narad Muni doesn't care for that offense. He takes the risk of breaking that offense of, you know, actually you know, not following that principle of not preaching to the faithless, and he goes to the faithless only. So if everybody thinks that, are only faithful people I'll preach to, what will happen to the faithless? So Narad Muni takes the risk of actually offending the holy name in that sense, and you know, going to these people. So generally, intelligence, wealth, fame, opulences, mode of goodness, all these are considered to be very useful to get pride. But it is also said that whenever anybody has all these 4-5 things, he is considered to be very pious. He has done a lot of piety in his previous life. But actually what happens is, we find most of the times, people who have all these things don't come for satsangs. Don't come for, you know, programs. You don't find like top level CEOs or somebody who is in the political order coming for satsang regularly. You know, they'll come once in a while. Even if they come for an agenda most of the times. So having all these things becomes like a coolie. You know, when you carry a load, they carry, you know, sometimes when you're going in a railway station, you know, you may be walking, then you give the coolie your bag and you are walking free. That fellow is carrying your luggage and you walk free. So all this wealth, intelligence, fame, all this is like big heavy loads. When you're carrying these heavy loads, you can't focus on your destination. You are so much bogged down by these heavy loads, you just can't focus on the goal. So these loads have to be dropped down. So Narad Muni, he realized that these people were Karma Mishra Bhaktas, the demigods, Nalakuvera Manigriva. They were devotees of Krishna for sure, but they were Karma Mishra Bhaktas. That means essentially they were part-time devotees. Most people in this world, डू पार्ट टाइम डिवोशनल सर्विस, थोड़ा करेंगे भक्ति बाकी सब मस्ती करेंगे. सो मोस्ट ऑफ द टाइम्स आर जस्ट डूइंग फन एंड वंस इन अ व्हाइल दे एक्ट अस और दे परफॉर्म प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस. नारद मुनि ही रियलाइज्ड दैट इफ आई डोंट गिव देम भक्ति, इफ आई डोंट कर्स देम एंड नॉट गिव देम भक्ति, दैट्स एक्चुअली एन ऑफेंस ऑन माई पार्ट. सो रादर देन थिंकिंग दैट इफ आई प्रीच टू अ फेथलेस आई एम कमिटिंग एन ऑफेंस, ही थिंक्स ऑपोजिट. He thinks if I don't preach to them and if I don't curse them, then I'm committing an offense by not giving them a chance to become devotees. As soon as Narad Muni cursed them to become trees in Vrindavan, of course they begged forgiveness. So he excused them by saying, you'll become trees in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard and Krishna will come and deliver you. Narad Muni straight from there, he was thinking he will go to Lord Vishnu and go and atone for the offense of cursing the devotees of Lord Shiva. Nalakuvera and Manigiri were, you know, Shiva's devotees. So Narad Muni cursed Shiva's devotees. So instantly Narad Muni went to Naranarayan Rishi, who was his guru, Narayan Rishi. And Narad Muni begged forgiveness to the Lord for cursing these people. Just look at the mindset of a pure devotee. So he acted as an instrument in the Lord's hands. He cursed them for their benefit only. But he is still following etiquette of going and asking forgiveness for cursing them. That's how a pure devotee is. A pure devotee, he feels guilty for cursing someone, for thinking even something wrong about somebody else. So after cursing Nanakuvera Manigreve, so these two of them became trees and they're waiting for 20,000 years for Krishna to descend. And now finally the two trees are looking at Krishna. And Krishna is looking at them. Can you imagine? After 20,000 years, the trees know that Krishna is the one who is going to deliver them. And now it has been 3 years Krishna is born. Till now Krishna has not looked at the two trees. You can imagine they applied for the last 3 years. You know, desperately looking, when will Krishna turn towards us? And can you imagine Krishna didn't even look at the trees till now. And even when he did, he looked from hiding, from inside his palace. So that the trees don't know that he's looking at them. So here, Krishna began to pull the motor towards the two trees. And interestingly, because that motor was touching Krishna, the rope and the motor, it became spiritual, transcendental. And both the rope and the motor, they started doing things on their own also. So sometimes Krishna was pulling them, sometimes the motor was going on its own ahead, you know. Because the motor was thinking, I don't want to, you know, create anxiety for Krishna by pulling me. So let me only go ahead. So sometimes Krishna was going ahead and sometimes the motor was automatically moving also. And the rope that was tying Krishna's belly, it was a rope that was on Mother Yashoda's hair. Generally, the rope that is on a woman's hair, tying the hair, is not a very tough rope. You don't use like a, you know, that rough thread, what do you call that? The thread to tie up, or sutli to tie up the hair, you know. Use something very silky, soft like that. So Krishna, when he reached between the two trees, he moved inside and the motor got stuck. Now Krishna wanted to make sure that the motor is good enough to handle this, you know, tough leela that is going to happen. So he started testing the rope, you know, he started pulling the rope to check if it is tough. And then he realized that rope had become unlimitedly tough. You know why? Because the rope, because it had got a spiritual form, it knew what is going to come. It knew that Krishna is going to do this leela. So better I acquire unlimited strength. So within that few moments, that rope acquired unlimited strength. And now the rope can do anything. So Krishna, he went between the two trees and the motor got stuck. This was the first touch Nalakuver and Manigreve were feeling of Krishna. They were not touched by Krishna directly. They were touched by the motor that was touching Krishna. This is what devotional service is. There are different people who are instrumental in putting us in contact with Krishna. You may never ever receive direct contact with Krishna in your life. But even if you get an indirect contact, via contact with Krishna, good enough. The motor was not touching Krishna also. The motor was touching a rope. And the rope was touching Krishna. And these two people, they were not touching Krishna directly. They were touching a motor that was touching a rope that was touching Krishna. So it's like a very servant of the servant of the servant connection, basically, you know. So the two of them, when they experienced this contact with Krishna for the first time in their life, they started trembling. They actually went through ecstatic symptoms. In the meanwhile, the boys on top, you know, the boys didn't accompany Krishna. They were on top only. They were watching what Krishna was doing. Krishna was running around here and there, playing with the motor. They were just enjoying his pastimes. And suddenly they saw Krishna trapped between the two trees. And the motor is stuck. Now, they were thinking, Krishna knows how to get himself in trouble. You know, the whole courtyard is there. He went and got stuck over there only. You know. And then they were thinking, let's see how Krishna gets out of this mess now. Krishna started smiling, looking at the boy's laughter. And then, when he started pulling the rope, and he started pulling the motor ahead. Suddenly, as he put his full force to pull the motor ahead, he bounced back and fell down. The motor was not going ahead only, and suddenly he just fell down. The boy started laughing like mad. Looking at Krishna's situation, he is trying to pull and the motor is stuck and Krishna is falling down behind. Krishna got angry on that motor, you know. He was thinking, what nonsense, I want to do one Leela, what are you doing? The motor was doing something else. You know what the motor was doing? The motor was thinking, why should I allow Krishna to put force? If he pulls with the rope, his belly will get cut. Rope marks will come on his belly. So he said, I will not allow Krishna to put the force. So Krishna was putting force in the front. But what the motor started doing was, the motor started putting force of its own. So because the force of Krishna was suddenly, you know, like a lesser force, he fell backwards. And the motor on its own started pushing the trees and trying to break the trees. And Krishna, he was doing nothing. He was just sitting over there, you know. He was not doing anything actually in this Leela. And when Krishna saw the motor pushing the trees, putting this full force, Krishna was amazed at his own pastime, you know. His mouth opened up widely. He's looking, what's happening over here? I wanted Leela to happen some other way. This Leela is happening some other way only, you know. And then suddenly both the trees collapsed. And the trees collapsed in such a way that it collapsed in a V shape. It didn't fall on Krishna at all. It didn't fall on the motor also. It fell in such a way that Krishna was absolutely unharmed by the whole experience. And then when the two trees collapsed, Krishna patted the motor, you know, as if he would pat a small calf, you know. And in the meanwhile, the sound was so tumultuous, so loud, that practically the whole Vrindavan, everybody became deaf literally. And Krishna's friends, they were the ones who saw it. They covered their ears to be unaffected. And suddenly, Krishna's friends wanted to get up and run towards Krishna to help him. They became immobilized. They became like statues. Only their eyes were moving, but they couldn't move only. So they were looking at each other and wondering, what's happening? Why can't we move? Because Krishna had another pastime to complete before they come. Because before Sakyaras happens, there is another Dasyaras that is to be completed. You know, Nalaku and Manigiri wanted to offer prayers to Krishna. So these two demigods appeared out and they started asking for forgiveness from Krishna. So they asked Krishna to bless them so that they get devotional service like the cowherd men of Vrindavan. Krishna told them something very interesting. Krishna, rather than blessing them directly, he told them, go to your guru, Narad Muni, and by his grace, you will get the fulfillment of all your desires. Krishna didn't give them grace directly. Krishna told them, you go to your spiritual master. And then he asked them to ask a boon. And they, rather than asking the other boons, they said, my dear Lord, please give us the only boon that on our tongues, constantly the holy names, your holy names and your divine pastimes we can chant. In the meanwhile, Krishna was now getting bored of all this prayer business, you know. So he started playing with the motor. He started kicking the motor. So there was a rope that was tied to his belly and the rope was tied to the motor. Now Krishna invented a new game. Krishna kicked the motor, so the motor would roll backwards. Then he would pull the motor again, so the motor would come front, you know. So he started kicking the motor and pulling it. These demigods, he forgot only about them. they were standing over there and wondering what we are supposed to do now, you know. So they realized prayer business is enough. Krishna is bored of our prayers. Let us go now. So then they offered their respects to Krishna, and they ascended towards the heavens. And at this point of time, Krishna, he realized, now it's time to invite my friends. He got up and he started calling all his friends. Come here, there's a new game. This is so much fun. And as soon as Krishna called them, all of them got released from that, you know, sudden invisible bondage that they were in. And because all through this bondage, this invisible bondage, the friends were trying to push, trying to run towards Krishna. Suddenly when the bondage got released, they started rolling, you know, out of the, because they were in a hill. And they all ran towards Krishna and started whooping and jumping and all that. And when they reached Krishna, Krishna, they were touching the body of Krishna, trying to see if he is alright. Krishna said, don't worry, I'm unharmed. Sridhama said, don't worry Krishna, we are now here to protect you. You are very safe now with us. You know? So Sridhama was feeling that he is protecting Krishna now, after all this also. And then the boy started telling Krishna, for breaking one pot of butter, your mother tied you to this kal, to this mortar. Now for breaking these two big trees, God knows what she will tie you to. She will tie you to some immovable object, I'm sure. You know. Krishna said, I don't care. I can pull mountains also. The boy started laughing loudly. They said, now you're going to pull mountains. Krishna said, not only will I move, can I move mountains, I can lift mountains also. Very soon I'll lift a mountain also, he said. You know. So the boy started making fun of Krishna. And then the boy started asking, who are those two people that you were talking to? What were they talking to you and where did they go suddenly? You know, Krishna didn't want to discuss this whole, you know, Leela with them. So he said there were two spirits inside the trees. Their time was up for their, you know, existence of the trees. So that they broke the trees and they went. The boy said, no, no, you're lying. They were talking to you. What did they tell you? You know. So Krishna, he realized that these people are getting into too many details, you know. He didn't want to go through an interrogation, you know. So Krishna, he started kicking the motor and pulling the motor, you know. He said, look at this new game, you know. So all the boys got so excited about the game, they started playing with the motor. You know? But the interesting part was, when the boys were pushing the motor, they could not budge it also. They could not push the motor even by 1 inch. The motor was so heavy. And then Krishna started pulling the motor and pushing it himself, you know. So the boys completely got, you know, absorbed in this game. And in the meanwhile, all the Vrajavasis came running to where this sound had come from. And Krishna, when he saw the Vrajavasis coming, he said, now all our fun is over. All of them hid inside the trees. Because the tree was huge. There was huge foliage. They hid inside the trees. And Krishna told them, don't make any sound. Let's appear that we are not here only. And then all the Vrajavasis, they were like searching like anything. They were soldiers came, they started searching the whole area. They were looking for some demon who had come, some big footprint or something like that. And they only saw small footprints of these small boys. They couldn't figure out where the boys are. They couldn't figure out what's happening over here. And in the whole process, Krishna, he realized that I can't hide for too long. And suddenly Mother Yashoda comes running. As soon as Mother Yashoda comes running, Krishna said, gone. Now I can't hide at all, you know. So when Yashoda comes, before they get caught, Krishna got up and stood. So everybody saw Krishna. They ran towards Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj reached by that time. Nanda Maharaj caressed, embraced Krishna, and you know, he started touching him all over his body to make sure he is fine. The Vrajavasi started asking, what happened over here? All the boys started explaining the whole thing. They said, Krishna pulled this motor from top to here, and the motor got stuck between the two trees. He pulled it, and by the power of the pull, the two trees fell. And these two demigods came out, two these divine personalities came out, they were offering prayers to Krishna, they started talking to Krishna, and Krishna told them, go, and they all went. All the Vrajavasis started laughing. They said, what nonsense you're talking, you know. So they said, surely some demon has attacked. We don't know who the demon is, but somehow by fortune of, you know, Lord Narayan, Krishna is saved. The boy said, no, no, we saw with our own eyes, we saw two people coming out from these trees and offering prayers to Krishna. The Vrajavasi said, keep quiet, go aside, you know. They didn't listen to the boys at all because Krishna's Leela Shakti prevented them from understanding the truth. And Nanda Maharaj at this point of time, he was embracing Krishna, and suddenly Krishna started feeling Vatsalya Ras again. His original sad feelings of being tied by his mother came back. And he started crying like anything. Nanda Maharaj, seeing Krishna cry and embracing him, he suddenly felt very angry. on Mother Yashoda. He didn't know who had tied up, you know. So he started saying, who is that evil minded person who has tied you up like this? And Yashoda was there only, you know. Krishna, he became very happy that Nanda Maharaj. So he started crying even more, you know. He said, my mother tied me up. And, you know, again, Nanda Maharaj is not there in Vrindavan. He had gone for Indra Puja. So he had come. So he didn't know the whole Damodar Leela that had taken place the whole day. So he asked the whole story. And then the whole story was explained to Nanda Maharaj, and how the boys again started saying, Krishna dragged the motor and, you know, two divine people. Nanda Maharaj shut them up, you know. He said, you don't speak now. And Nanda Maharaj started asking the other gopis, did Yashoda tie up Krishna like this? They said, yes, she only tied him up. Yeah. So Nanda Maharaj was very upset. And in Yashoda's mind, this whole words of Nanda Maharaj kept ringing. Who is that evil minded person who had tied Krishna? So she ran into her room, she was crying like anything, and calling me evil minded person. You know, I did it for my welfare of my son. You know. So in the meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj took Krishna ahead. They went to Yamuna, and there were a lot of purificatory ceremonies that were done to, you know, purify Krishna from the evil effects of this demon. And they all came back. In the meanwhile, Yashoda was locked in a room and she was crying profusely. And Rohini, she went to Mother Yashoda and she realized the whole situation. She realized that if I don't pull Yashoda out of this, she's going to cry to death. So she started telling Yashoda that you have not fed Krishna anything from morning. As soon as Yashoda remembered that, she ran to the kitchen and started cooking. So the only thing that can distract Yashoda from her own crying and sadness is service to Krishna. So she cooked an entire meal, she set the table, she put everything on, you know, arranged for the dinner, and she again went to the room and started crying. She thought Krishna will come and pacify her. Krishna didn't come only. Krishna sat on Nanda Maharaj's lap and he ate dinner on, you know, sitting on Nanda Maharaj's lap. And then after the whole dinner, Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, they went and slept for some time, for half an hour. And then they came back and Krishna was not going to his mother only. So Nanda Maharaj said, I have to interfere and solve this conflict. I have to do conflict resolution now between mother and son. So Nanda Maharaj told Krishna that your mother, she's crying a lot. You should go to her now. Ladies are saying that she's been crying so much. Krishna said, no, I will not go to my mother. I will remain with you only from today onwards. So Nanda Maharaj said, whose breast will you feed on? Krishna said, no, I am a big boy now. I will drink milk from my father's cows, you know. So then he started saying, who will you play with? All the elderly gopis started asking him. So Krishna said, I will play with my father. He is the king of all games, you know. And I will play with my brother. The reason Krishna said, I will play with my brother is because Balramji had come secretly and patched up with Krishna. So the gopis asked him, will you play with Rohini also? He said, no, I will not go to Rohini. Because Rohini, why did she leave me and go? If she was here, she would have saved me from this embarrassment. Because she also left me, I am not going to play with her also. So Balramji had came and told Krishna. So Krishna was angry on Balramji also, why he disappeared. So Balramji came and told Krishna, my dear Krishna, I am a small boy. What I can do? Wherever mother takes me, I go. So Krishna excused Balramji. So Nanda Maharaj and Balramji were excused basically, you know. And Balramji, so then Nanda Maharaj embraced Krishna and he said, he realized, now if I don't do something, this is going to continue. So he planned a strategy to get Krishna out of this mood of being angry. He started telling Krishna, son, tell me one word and I will thrash that woman. And he said, I am the king of Vrindavan. I cannot tolerate any injustice in Vrindavan. You lodge a complaint and I will punish her. She put your life in danger. So I will give appropriate punishment that will put her life in danger, you know. As soon as Nanda Maharaj said that, Krishna started panicking like anything. He started crying. He said, no, no, you can't do that. You can't punish my mother. Nanda Maharaj said, no, I will do it. Because how dare she put your life in danger, you know. And then Krishna, he started crying like anything. He said, no, you can't do that. That cannot happen. And he started shouting, mother, mother, where are you? And Krishna was running towards Mother Yashoda. And in the meanwhile, Mother Yashoda, she heard Krishna screaming out her names. She ran towards Krishna. And both of them embraced each other. And Mother Yashoda, she was crying like anything, begging forgiveness from Krishna. Krishna was crying like anything, begging forgiveness from Mother Yashoda. And then they completely forgot about the whole incident. And Krishna started feeding Mother Yashoda. And after the whole Leela got over, Mother Yashoda took Krishna and put him to sleep. And as she was putting him to sleep, Krishna started asking her, tell me your story. So Yashoda started telling the story of Dhruva Maharaj. She started telling the story of how Dhruva Maharaj had gone to the forest because he was angry with his mother. It was very relevant to the context, you know, of the pastime. And she started telling him how Dhruva Maharaj went away in the forest and there he met Narad Muni. And Narad Muni initiated him in the mantra. And as soon as Krishna heard the word Narada, his devotee's name, Krishna started telling his mother, I also want to be initiated. I also want to get a mantra from a guru, you know. Yashoda said, when you become big, you will get initiated. And then Krishna started telling her, I want to take initiation from Narad Muni only, you know. And like that, taking the name of Narad Muni, Krishna went to sleep. This whole pastime indicates the greatness of two people, two devotees of Krishna. One is Mother Yashoda, and another is Narad Muni. Yashoda was showing her compassion to Krishna, trying to protect Krishna, and Narad Muni was trying to show his compassion to Nalakuvar and Manigriv, trying to protect them and uplift them and give them the process of pure devotional service. Here, in this particular pastime, the verse that we are reading, we are talking about how human life should be used in devotional service. If it is not used in devotional service, it is spiritual suicide. And here, Narad Muni, we find in this whole story, how he plans the whole Leela in such a way, orchestrates in such a way that Nalakuvar and Manigriv actually achieve the perfection of the human life and go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Tirantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.